Speaking at Amherst College, John F. Kennedy said, "When power leads a man toward arrogance, poetry reminds him of his limitations." I believe there is so much poetry in the Bible because our biblical writers were profoundly aware of their limitations. How does one proclaim the ineffable, that for which we have no words? How does one describe a mystery? No matter the language, or the culture, or the century, humankind tends to turn to poetry. Today we celebrate Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is the only feast day on the church calendar on which we celebrate a doctrine instead of a biblical event or a saint of the church. Our Christian concept of the Trinity rose up out of people's lived experiences of the divine. While the word Trinity is not used in the Bible does tell us stories about God, who created and who chose to have a relationship with humankind, and stories about Jesus, who was sent by God, and more stories about God's Spirit present in God's creation. Those who study theology talk about God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as the persons of the Trinity. In Paul's letter to the church in Rome, all the persons of the Trinity are present and accounted for. Paul attempts to describe how God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit work together through love to offer humankind the experiences, what we experience as peace. But Paul never uses the word Trinity. Paul was talking about his life experience and the experiences of those he led. These early Christians had experienced God in three distinct ways. Yet Paul seemed convinced that all these experiences were grounded in the same divine being. As far as we know, Theophilus of Antioch was the first to use the word Trinity in the late 2nd century. Some 300 years and a whole lot of theological and political bickering later, we arrived at the foundational doctrine of the Trinity that shapes how we talk about the Trinity today. Christian doctrine became political when Emperor Constantine issued the Edict of Milan in 313, declaring his acceptance of Christianity. Within 10 years, Christianity would become the state religion of the Roman Empire. The Nicene Creed, which we use in worship to this day, was drafted at the Council of Nicaea in 325 and revised at the Council of Constantinople in 381. The scriptures assigned for today contain some of the biblical threads out of which Trinitarian theology is woven. Using poetry, Proverbs introduces us to Lady Wisdom, the Hebrew scripture personification of wisdom and understanding. Lady Wisdom extols the majesty and creative control of Israel's God and tells us that she was present when God created the heavens and the earth. Here, we find an early understanding of God's Spirit present in creation. Psalm 8 celebrates God as the supreme authority over all creation. Here again, the psalmist resorts to poetry in an attempt to articulate their awe of God's glory and the depth of human humility God's sovereignty inspires. In Romans, Paul sees God's glory reflected in the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. According to Paul, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God all work together to further God's plans for creation. Since Easter, our gospel lessons have been drawn from John's gospel. The Cliff Note version of the last 7 weeks goes something like this. Jesus tells his followers that he and God are one. He comforts them with news that he will not leave them comfortless. Jesus will send another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us always. Then, in this morning's gospel lesson, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will glorify him. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit will take up Jesus' work. Now, do we have any math geeks in the room? People who are good at math in school? Oh, come on. I know there's more of you than that. Maybe a little. We got someone who's doing a little. All right. You don't have to be a really hardcore math geek to get this. So, with the elegance of poetry, the author of John's Gospel essentially sets up a narrative proof of the transitive property of equality. If God equals Jesus, and Jesus equals the Holy Spirit, then God equals the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? This Bible man stuff is so much fun. You guys are not having as much fun with this as I am. Perhaps I get so excited about Trinity Sunday because it is a celebration of mystery. It is a day that we get really honest and we admit that understanding God is beyond our grasp. We can know God through our everyday encounters with the divine, here in worship, walking in nature, reading the Bible, in the smile of a stranger, listening to children laugh, holding the hand of a dying loved one, savoring your favorite flavor of ice cream. But we will not understand the mystery of God in this lifetime. Australian theologian Anthony Kelly offers perhaps the most cogent and relatable statement of the Trinity I have ever come across. Inspired by the statement in 1 John that God is love, Kelly grounds each person of the Trinity in the experience of love. God is the origin of love, the originating lover. Jesus is the gift of love, God's self-expression of love. And the Holy Spirit is the truth of love, the inexhaustible activity of this love. Kelly explains, love is the fundamental meaning of the Trinity. There was never a time when God is not love. Or as our presiding bishop Michael Curry is so fond of saying, if it's not about love, it's not about God. You and I and all of creation live and move and have our being in love. We exist in the loving embrace of the Trinity. The Christian life is its own Trinity of love. Love God, love our neighbor, creation. And to that I add, love of self. God loves us beyond our comprehension. Who are we to consider ourselves unworthy of love? Our capacity to wholeheartedly love God and to love what God has made is directly related to our ability to love ourselves. When we live our lives striving for a healthy balance of loving God, loving neighbor, and loving self, decision making, experiencing peace and joy, even responding to hardship and crisis, they will become a lot easier. Several years ago, I did one of my crowdsourcing sermon questions on Facebook. I asked, what is love? I got all manner of beautiful poetic babble about feelings and passion and happiness. And very predictably, all of my clergy friends responded, God is love. I found myself struck that love and God are both mysteries that leave you in kind grasping for words. Is it any wonder that love and the divine are the two most common themes in poetry, no matter the century or the language or the culture? Writing in her book about poetry, A Poetry Handbook, Mary Oliver said these words that could just as easily be said about God or about love. Poetry is a life-cherishing force, for poems are not words, after all, but fires for the cold, ropes let down to the lost, something as necessary as bread in the pockets of the hungry.
Thank you. and family. Erwin. Sandra. And those who remember now how to solemnly call. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
All who have divine fatherly care and guidance, for those estranged from family, for friends and neighbors, and for our congregation, may God's mercy serve as a model for all relationships. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
And thanksgiving for the faithful departed, we now rest from their labor. That we cling to the hope of sharing with them the glory of God. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Merciful God, to hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken, we commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us humbly confess our sins.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have done. We have not loved thee with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors and ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in thy will and walk in thy ways, to the glory of thy name. Amen.
Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of this great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who depart in repentance and in faith pray unto him, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all of our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be always with you,
and also with you.
Sometimes you have to talk.